This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to Went to Mode King's Better, the show that follows the fantastic Chelsea FC women's team. Now, it's been a little while since we recorded, which was when we lost to Arsenal 4-1. Enough about that. So this week, just before the end of 2023 and Christmas, before we break up for the festivities, we're going to talk about those three games that we have missed. So the 0-0 versus Hacken at Stamford Bridge, the 3-0 win versus Bristol City at Aston Gate, and then the 3-1 win away in Sweden this week on Wednesday, as Chelsea finished off the year top of the WSL and top of their Champions League group. So all is well there. Now remember, when we do record on Tuesdays and Fridays, you can listen to the show live on Mixlr. That's mixlr.com / Went to Mo King's Meadow, or you can look out for our tweets and you can join in the show and post on the chat page as we go along, but we'll try and record on Tuesdays and Fridays for that to happen at 8 p.m. As always, I'm your host, Dean, joined this week again by Mr. Simon Kingman. Simon, good to see you.
Evening, everyone. Evening, Dean. Evening, Serena. Glad to be back for another show. It's been a busy week or so, isn't it, really? Games coming thick and fast.
It feels like we haven't recorded for ages, but it's literally like 10 days. So we missed two shows, but there's three games, which is crazy. And also joining us from a long way away, Serena Chong. Serena, good to see you. How you doing?
Good to see you guys as well. I'm doing well. It's been busy for the Chelsea women, and it's been busy for me. So I'm very happy that Christmas is just around the corner.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Packing up for work today. Simon, you got one more day left, or are you done? I know you're lazy, you post these.
Yeah, tomorrow. So hopefully nice and easy tomorrow. We can get away quick, but we'll see. Yeah, been really, really busy.
Yeah, so as I say, on the show tonight, in sort of part one, we're going to look at the three games, just in very general detail. Mainly because I missed the Bristol City game, so I was getting a haircut, which sounds a lot more fancy than it is, but that is the time that my barber was available. And then the second Champions League game, I fell asleep halfway through it because I've been so busy. So the only game I actually remember is the 0-0, which was 0-0, so what do you need to know about that? Hopefully Simon and Serena can help us out with the other two games. And in part two, we're going to look at a Christmas wish list for Chelsea. What could they possibly need or want, but our wish for them going into next year, 2024, our last half the season under Emma Hayes, unfortunately. And we're going to do that after this short interlude.
Ah!
went to Moe Kings Meadow. Let's get into the first game then, which was the 0-0. And this was on, Simon, the Thursday after we lost to Arsenal 4-1, so we recorded on the Tuesday. Hoped for a bounce back against Hacken, but one of those games I thought they could have still been playing Friday morning and they wouldn't have scored.
It was, oh God, they huffed and they puffed, didn't they? And all those shots they had. We were sitting in the north end, so they were kicking towards the second half, and we were all saying, oh, it's all right, second half, we'll see all the goals down our end. But yeah, we could have still been playing and still wouldn't have seen them score. They defended well, though, didn't they, Hacken, to give them their due? But 10 players behind the ball, I suppose.
Yeah,
frustrating that they didn't shoot. But then when you saw the stats, I was surprised how many shots they had. It seemed like they were trying to score the perfect goal all the time rather than having a dig.
Yeah, I'll read those stats out, Serena. It's 70% possession, 22 shots, 5 on target, 10 corners and 4 fouls. I don't remember the goalkeeper making an amazing save at all. So they should have been 5 sort of straightforward ones. But yeah, as we said, frustrating is probably the word for it.
I mean, as someone who didn't get to catch the game live, I'm looking on FotMob right now, and the top-rated Chelsea players are all defenders, which kind of tells you all you need to know about the game.
Yeah, I mean, Hacken, to give their credit, as we have, Simon, you know, they were top of the group going into this game, having beaten Paris FC and Real Madrid. So they were no mugs. They defended well, and they also counter-attacked well. And for me, the highlight for the team was Khadija Buchanan, which obviously says a lot as well.
Yeah, it's funny because I was sitting next to friends that we know from Kings Meadow, but we've never actually sat beside them. And it was interesting getting their take on players as well as ours. And we sort of all agreed that she's a fantastic player when the pressure's on. But once the pressure is off her, then she takes her eye off the ball a little bit and makes a few mistakes. But she did. She really played well in that game. And Jess as well, to be fair. Jess Carter played well, but
yeah, I suppose so. It's pleasing to get a clean sheet after losing 4-1. That's another positive we could take. So I know you missed the game live, Serena, but have you seen highlights of it?
I vaguely remember seeing highlights. I'm sorry, my memory is pretty bad right now just because I've been a bit under the weather. But, I mean, nothing really stood out from what I remember, which from what I'm hearing from the both of you kind of tracks with this game.
Yeah, I mean, so it's probably the last thing to talk about for this game is, you know, the atmosphere at Stamford Bridge, just the 5,000 available. I don't know what the attendance actually was for this game. Let's see if I can find it on here. Yeah, no, it doesn't actually.
Is it 3,000? Just like a little over 3,000, I think.
Yeah, it's not telling me on BBC website. Yeah.
It's 3,300 according to FotMob.
Yeah. So about 1,700 short of the 4 or 5 they could have had. Affected the team, maybe?
It's strange playing there, isn't it? And seeing it empty. And even when you watch it on telly, I know that's where the cameras are on the East End, but it's not good when the cameras are facing an empty stand. It's I must admit, I enjoyed it. I was sitting around sort of people, and it had that Kings Meadow feel about it with people that you knew. We saw you and Jane and the others. But it's weird. It is a very weird feeling going to Stamford Bridge with 3,000 people there. Very strange. Perhaps it did affect them a little bit. Yeah. Sometimes those Stamford Bridge games are a bit funny, aren't they, to start off with? And so they play the occasion sometimes. But that was, yeah, it's a bit eerie, isn't it, when it's empty?
Well, it normally is eerie, but I was sat in the row in front of all the mascots. So as they come off, all the mascots,
right.
They was like on mad one for the whole game. Behind us was absolutely mental. Not even watching the football, no interest in it whatsoever, which I don't blame them actually because it was pretty poor. But yeah, they kept the noise up where I was anyway, in the front row. I should have tried to get the pitch and score a goal, really. We'll move on from that because, you know, that's what else can you say about a 0-0 draw? It wasn't good enough. Then Sunday, the 17th of December, away to Bristol City. In the WSL, and Serena, probably the biggest talking point before the game, the inclusion of Hannah Hampton as the goalkeeper.
Yeah, I had to make sure I was reading the team sheet right when it came out because it was 6 a.m. my time, but there she was, Hannah Hampton. I guess we later found out that both Musovic and AKB weren't quite fit. Due to the flu that was spreading around, from my understanding. But it was, I guess it was good to have our third goalkeeper in instances like these.
Yeah, I mean, Sam, what did you make of her performance?
I thought she played really, really well. It's this big debate at the moment, isn't it? Who's number one? AKB's got her strengths, Muzovic has got her strengths, perhaps Hannah Hampton's the answer, and she combines two of them. She didn't save, she came out, didn't she? Sort of spread herself. It was a bit like Peter Schmeichel type save. Bit of a starfish. And she seemed quite comfortable as well, kicking as well, and I like that, playing out from the back. Yeah, good to see her at last.
Yeah, well, we have been wondering when she was going to make that to her debut, and obviously it came against Bristol City. And what also came, Serena, was another world-class Lauren James goal. And after what happened at Arsenal, and she didn't start the game against Hacken in the Champions League, sort of felt like that was behind her after that goal.
Yeah, it was a fabulous goal. She was buzzing around before and after as well. I thought this was a classic good Lauren James game. She's back to her usual self, which is comforting to hear after not seeing because I've got most of that filter out of my Twitter feed, but hearing about the abuse that she's gotten as a result of what happened during the Arsenal game. So good to see her back on her feet, metaphorically and physically.
Yeah, and another player, like, not obviously not gone through the same turmoil as Lauren James, but Simon, Erin Cuthbert, I don't think has been at her best this season, mainly because of probably fitness. But she got a goal in this game and then followed that up with a great performance midweek, which we'll talk about soon. But good again to see her on the score sheet, because that's something we've not seen for a little while.
No. My favourite player, to be honest, Erin Cuthbert. I love her. I love the way she buzzes around midfield and just the way she plays. I think she's made of plastic, rubber, the way she just bounces down and she'll get tackled, she tackles, she gets straight back up again. Yeah, not seen a goal for a while, so it was good. Brilliant, just a fantastic player.
It reminds me, do you know what they make the figures out of to film Wallace and Gromit?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's like thumped and then it just goes back into normal shape very slowly, is Erin Cuthbert.
That's it.
Yeah, and then sort of on from that, I think that's when Hannah Hampton makes her save and Sam Kerr seals the win. And, you know, in years gone by, Serena, Bristol City have been a bit of a sort of calling the whipping boys or the whipping girls, I suppose. Always losing big, you know, big score lines. But it's good to see that that gap has been closed a bit. Although we're still quite comfortable 3-0 winners, it's not a 9-0 with nine different scorers because the competition's improving.
Yeah. In full disclosure, I've only recently started watching the WSL, so I wasn't around. I wasn't watching the last time Bristol City were up, but no, it's still a comfortable 3-0 win for Chelsea. But I felt like at times, you know, Bristol City had a couple of good counters, requiring two pretty good saves from Hannah Hampton at different times. You know, they kept this contained for, I mean, apart from the Lauren James goal at the 17th minute there, which, you know, good luck trying to stop Lauren James from that position. But I thought they defended well for the first bit of the game before, you know, the inevitable Chelsea stuff happens and we get two more world-class goals from our world-class players.
Yeah, Sam Kerr scores sort of inevitable, isn't it? So I suppose the other thing from this game just we should talk about is Sjurken Muskan playing at centre-half, because we've seen her play mainly as a number 10, so you know, swapping right back to the other end of the pitch. How did she do for you?
Yeah, I was surprised to see her there, actually, but she did really, really well. I think she's a player that could play anywhere. She's that good. But it's because I think the episode before we said about Sophie Ingle, didn't we, could possibly play centre-back. So when I saw the team, I imagined that that's what it would be, Sophie Ingle playing there. But it was Nuskin. Yeah, she did well. She did well.
Yeah, I did assume that as well, that it was Ingle playing in the back, or if it was a three with Lawrence, Carter and Charles and trying to work out the rest of it. I suppose, Serena, that is obviously the last league game of the year, 2023. Top of the table, 10 games played, 8 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss. Obviously disappointing to get that loss quite near the end. Obviously the Arsenal fixture, but with a little help from my friends at Liverpool and Tottenham, a comfortable end to the year.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, now we've got some time to recover. And thankfully, the red card that Neve Charles got in this game will be suspension will be served during the FA Cup game against, I believe, West Ham and not our next league fixture. So I'm very, very thankful for that. But yeah, I was a little worried when we stumbled against, when we fell against Arsenal, but our friends over at Spurs Stadium did us a favor, and we're back on top.
Yeah, I don't suppose you have celebrated the Tottenham win more than that, Simon, in 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, come on, you Spurs podcast in the new year. Yeah, I suppose as well, the Neve Charles red card we should mention. Not like her, Simon. She's been having a fantastic season. Been one of our standout players. I think she's played along with Jess every game. And just a bit of madness, really. She didn't need to make the challenge. And Emma Hayes said in the top notes, she didn't know what she was doing.
No, it's unusual for her because she's normally, yeah, sort of quite calm and sensible, really. So to make two rash tackles like that, and good job it was again. Well, we were winning, weren't we? But another game, another tight game, and she'd done that. It could have cost us. So yeah, very unusual. Perhaps she just needed a break, a bit of a longer holiday, maybe.
Yeah, maybe
Sorry.
So go ahead.
Oh, yeah, she did look quite tired that entire game, whether that's because she played full 90s for England and has played basically every game for us as well. Or, you know, she also is still feeling the effects of the flu that's been going around camp that she may or may not had, or a combination of the two. She just looked, she looked gassed for most of that game. And I think the break will do her some good. She'll come back refreshed in the new year.
Yeah, I was thinking that she thought we had one more game left before Christmas. She thought I'll have that off before Christmas. Not to be. She will miss West Ham. Be interesting to see what Chelsea do there with a left back, or if they play without one, which probably be the case. But we will look at that in the new year. And then, sorry, moving on then to the final game of 2023, this past Wednesday in Sweden against Häcken. I was a bit apprehensive before this one, Simon. You know, artificial pitch, cold temperatures. We haven't played very well in the game at Stamford Bridge. But Chelsea turned up.
They did, yeah. It surprised me as well, really. They played really well, defended well, and yeah, a solid performance from us. It looked really cold, didn't it? I saw the pictures of the some of the guys coming back, getting the flight back yesterday in the snow and things like that, yeah. Was it minus, obviously, not as cold as Canada, I would assume, but very cold, very cold.
Yeah, Serena's thinking what you're talking about. It's lovely weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, it won't translate on the podcast, but you can see the sun. It's actually been fairly warm, and the ski hill I usually frequent actually has, they're still being melted, so I can't even go skiing right now. Seeing the how cold it was at the Häcken game, and then yesterday's game in Norway, I think it was Leon and Bran, that's real winter, not what I've got here.
We've been quite lucky recently, to be fair. For sure, Simon's doing shorts on his round. Then we started well early. You know, Sam Kerr scoring after 14 minutes. Serena, and that's always a good sign for Chelsea when they get an early goal.
Yeah, I was also quite apprehensive heading into this game, just because of even though we had won against Bristol City, we still looked not quite fit. Both Ashley Lawrence and Neve Charles, I remember in particular, being, you know, not being able to run as fast and as much as they usually would. So heading into this, being a little apprehensive, worried about, you know, Häcken sitting back and then burning us on the counter. So Sam Kerr scoring in the 14th minute eased those nerves a little, but then Häcken scored, was it 12 minutes later? So I was like, oh no, here we go again. But I guess I can't be too angry with that, because we eventually won and their one goal was scored by a Canadian. So
it was assisted by Simon. It was the number 7, Jessu Barr, who I thought in the first game when she came on as a sub was really good for Häcken, really quick, caused us a lot of problems as a wing back. And again, you know, going 1-1 made me think, you know, again, this is going to be a frustrating second half for Chelsea.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? You play a couple of games like the Arsenal game and the Häcken game, and your sort of confidence dips a little bit. Ordinarily, you would think, oh, it's all right, 1-1, we'll come back and we'll steamroller them. But those little doubts creep in a little bit and think, oh, no, yeah, is this not going to be our night again, top of the league? We could go out of Europe, but yeah, they did the business. Thanks to Erin again. Scottish Messi.
Yeah, no surprise that Scott would perform well in cold weather.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, Serena, like we said, talking about the Bristol City game, I don't think this has been Aaron's season so far. But she came up trumps in this game on the back of getting that goal against Bristol City, and you know, a bit of confidence maybe helping her game out.
For sure, yeah, I echo your thoughts. You know, it hasn't been your typical Aaron season so far, but I thought she looked amazing this game. It's probably one of her best games this season. And I'm enjoying her getting back to her usual consistently amazing self. And her two goals were phenomenal ones. So I'm looking forward to more of this in the new year.
Yeah, I suppose I should come clean and say I haven't seen any of Erin Cuthbert's goals from Wednesday night. I've been that busy, I've not even watched back the highlights. So I will take your word that they were excellent goals. And Simon, sort of coming to you on Erin again, you know, she's had to deal with, you know, Muskin coming into the team, a new partner, learning, you know, a new teammate. And the midfield is that one area that I think Chelsea's always really struggled with.
Yeah, difficult positions to fill, aren't they? She would always be my first choice there. Forget how young she is as well. The commentator said about her being 25, and it blows my mind that she's that young still. And she's, what, she got maybe three more years till she's at her peak as well. But yeah, we spoke about Ingle before. Oh no, 25. Yeah, we spoke about Ingle before, didn't we? And just what she brings to the team, and then Nuskin as well. And yeah, looking good. Hopefully, Loopholes makes a return as well at some point.
Yeah, the mysterious Loopholes. Where is she? Serena, I suppose it just shows how quickly, you know, things turn around in football on the back of a 4-1 defeat and a 0-0 draw. A 3-1 win and a 3-0 win, top of the WSL, top of the Champions League group. Everything looks pretty rosy for Chelsea again.
Yeah, it does. This just makes me even angrier that we were robbed of a win against Real Madrid, because if we had won that, as we should have, we would be sitting nice and pretty at the top of the table in Champions League, instead of, you know, still having to try and get some more wins out of the rest of our Champions League game. But you know, that's a first world problem to have, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose some of the good thing for us is the way the fixtures fall. You know, we take on Real Madrid next. Hacken and Paris both play each other, so either someone loses or they both just get 1 point, which does put either of them above us if we somehow lose to Real Madrid. Then we're away to Paris, and Hacken take on Real Madrid. So hopefully we should be, you know, high and dry before that trip to Paris.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, nice positions. They're out as well, aren't they? Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're coming, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of a shorter form.
Yeah, just checking that they can get to 7 points, but then I think Hacken Harris will get to that as well. Well, it's head to head, isn't it? I don't know how they do it these days. And they're changing it all again, aren't they, next season? But there we go. Top of the group, top of the WSL 2023. I think we can say it's been a success for Chelsea. After this break, we are going to ask for your Christmas wishes. So if you're listening live on Mixly, you can put your Christmas wish for Chelsea in the chat box. We'll get them involved as well, and we'll ask Serena and Simon for theirs. Before we do go for a break, a reminder that you can get your subscription to Kings Meadow Chronicle, your Chelsea FC women fanzine, Get it online, order the subscription, you get the copy issue 8 sent out to the post to you as soon as it's published. There's also a special offer on where you get a free PDF subscription as well, so you can buy someone a physical subscription and get the email yourself, or get the physical copy yourself and give the email to someone else. We really don't mind what way around you do it. King's Meadow Chronicle features tons of great writers, including Mr. Simon King, who's with us tonight. You get the same amount of pages as a program, just better quality content inside, in my opinion. Looking through the Champions League one anyway, when we played Hackham. So I don't normally buy them. But there we go. So the address to buy them is www.kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com. So make sure you order. Probably before the new year, if you want issue 8 out when it is released. We will be right back after this.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. When you follow a big team like Chelsea, one of the most frustrating things is not being able to get a ticket for the match, especially when it's away and not live on TV in the UK. What can you do? Get updates from your mates? Follow online commentary? Listen to the radio? Let's face it, it's not the same as actually watching the match live, is it? NordVPN have the solution to every football supporter's match day problems when they can't watch the match live. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords. It's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Welcome back to the second and final part of the final Wentworth Kings Meadow podcast for 2023. Now, we've just reviewed those three fixtures very briefly that saw Chelsea finish 2023 top of the WSL and top of the Champions League group stage against Hacken Real Madrid and Paris FC. So you could be mistaken in thinking that Emma Hayes can't ask for too much this Christmas because she seems to have everything that she wants. However, we are quite greedy here at Wentworth Kings Meadow. We always want more. So we are giving out some Christmas wishes. If you're listening along live in Mixlr, make sure you put yours in the chat now. What is your Christmas wish for Chelsea? And I'm going to come to Simon first. I suppose you can have a couple of Christmas wishes. But what would yours be for Chelsea?
Yes. I want to know that Katerina Svitkova is all right. It pains me that she's disappeared just because she's a lovely person, really. So, yeah, if Father Christmas can find out if she's all right for me, that would be good. And to see, like we spoke about earlier on, to have Loopholes back playing as well.
That was a big ask.
So not too greedy.
It was a big ask asking for injury updates from Emma Hayes at Christmas.
Yeah. Maybe did I see the Aston Villa sort of give you I saw it somewhere. I think it must have been on Twitter, and they actually gave you updates on the players that were injured.
Yeah, well, then
so perhaps that's one.
But maybe a few glasses of wine at Christmas. Emma Hayes would be forthcoming with some information regarding injured players. Don't normally come
you never know.
Serena, how about you?
I'm not going to be as gracious as Simon. I'm going to be very greedy. My wish list is a Champions League trophy. Go big or go home, right? That's my pie in the sky one. But you know, you never know. games are meant to be played on the pitch and not on paper. I guess a more realistic one would be, I just hope everyone stays healthy and that Millie comes back at some point before March, in time for the knockout rounds for the Champions League. Knock on wood that we make it there, because you never know. I'm a little skittish these days. That'd be my two. If I had to add another realistic third one, I'm sure we all saw the West Ham announcement video for one Christy Mulis. So fingers crossed that comes with an extension announcement from one Miss Samantha Kerr in the near future. So I've got my fingers crossed for that one.
Yeah, and not that Sam Kerr joins West Ham.
Yeah, no. Let's not put that out there in the world.
That's what my Christmas wish. So accepting your Christmas wishes on top of that, there's one would have been the perfect send-off for Emma Hayes, which is the Champions League, so that's covered. Katerina Macario coming back, or coming, not coming back, she hasn't started yet, but being fit, seeing her score goals for Chelsea would be one. And then winning the league the week before the last game of the season. So then when we go to Old Trafford, we're already champions. There's no pressure on the game, just the party. I know that's your 50th as well, Simon. So even more reason to celebrate.
Yeah. We were talking about that, funnily enough, when it was announced that me and Dylan, and he said, oh, why does it have to be there? We won't get to see the players close up and things like that. So, well, that's right, because we can win it the day before, or the game before, and then Mark Skinner can give us a guard of honour as we walk out of the tunnel at Old Trafford. Yeah, because they've already started selling tickets for it.
Yeah, their biggest game at Old Trafford, and we're already the champions. Just
Simon, yeah. Did you say that your 50th?
Absolutely.
Simon, did you say that your 50th is the Old Trafford game?
Yeah, or the day before, the 17th. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so,
party time. I was just gonna say, it's our birthday, but mine is on the day of.
Oh, is it?
Birthday presents all around.
I thought you were going to say I don't look old enough to be 50.
That too. But that was implied. thought they would be assumed.
Yeah, it doesn't have, it goes on said, Simon, that. Buffer gives us his, which is the Champions League, and United giving us the guard of honour at the last game of the season. So, yeah, I think everyone knows what they want. Obviously, heading into the new year is going to be the January transfer window. Serena, do you see us making any moves? It's going to be difficult without having a new head coach in place to attract players, because they're going to know who they're going to be playing for.
Yeah, partially due to that, and partially, I mean, I guess it would depend on, you know, what Millie's progress is. The only transfer I can see coming in would be for a center back if we know that she'll be out long term. But, you know, with the uncertainty of who the next head coach will be, I don't see too much movement, if at all.
Yeah, I mean, Simon put Nick Nowlan out with an ACL, Buchanan struggling with injury on and off. Mielda sort of struggled against Arsenal. Was she not going to be a long term fit there? I think Millie will be back, but perhaps a left back so we can look at in January. Do you want to complete the squad?
Yeah, like Serena, really, centre back. Don't really know who you would get, to be honest. The only one I was thinking as well is could we make a bid for Conor Gallagher and then loan him back to the men's team? Would that be a possibility, or is that, I suppose, it's not done, is it, really?
I thought you meant to play.
Yeah, I don't really know who would be. Yeah.
You've got the hair for it.
Yeah, true. just keep him at Chelsea. But that's a different story, right? That's for a different podcast.
Yeah, that's for the other lot, Conor Gallagher. I suppose he's being a little bit greedy asking for more signings after, how many was it in the summer? Six? Even seven? And we've got centre-backs on loan, we've got a left-back on loan. Maybe we should just wait it out and see. Now, before we go, sorry, just saying in the news, and I just want to ask how much of the NWSL that you follow?
Probably not as much as I should. It's actually easier for me to catch WSL games than the NWSL games, but that's a whole different story for a whole different time.
Do you watch more than nothing?
I do, yes.
I'll ask you about this then, because it was revealed that the OL Reign manager, Laura Harvey, was in the director's box at Stamford Bridge during the Champions League game, rumoured to be one of Emma Hayes' candidates to replace her. Do you know much about her and what she would bring to the team?
I feel like I should know more about her than I actually do. She's the OL Reign. They play in Seattle, so that's the closest NWSL team to where I live in Vancouver, Canada. But that's a very long-winded way of saying I don't know too much. She's got great regular season success, but her teams have underperformed, to say the least, in the playoffs, so knockout rounds, which makes me a little wary about how she manages the game and the squad during knockout round football. But this is all just based off of, a very superficial view of, what I've seen of the OL Reign as well as her coaching. People who follow NWSL more closely than I do seem to like her. So, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed. It wouldn't be on the same level as if, if someone say like, what would you think if Rhian Skinner coached Chelsea? That I would be, that'd be a firm no. But this one, I'm not sure. Cautiously optimistic if it was the case, but I'd have to see more to be sure.
Yeah, I mean, Schmeg164 on Mixler says that, exactly the same as you, Laura Harvey's decent, but has a poor record in knockouts. Just okay for me. Not really an ambitious hire, in Schmeg's opinion, of course. I just about follow Chelsea, so following teams in America play way outside of my reach. So no opinion from me. I'm just going to trust Simon that they make the right decision, and I'm going to guess you're in the same boat as me on that.
Yeah, I heard it was going to be Basil that gets the job. That was a rumour that I'd seen somewhere.
3 minutes is not enough.
Maybe starting by Basil. Someone on the... Just give them Harry Bowes.
He'd be playing every player, we'd get banned. He wouldn't be able to say no to anyone. They'd all be starting.
No, it's true. Yeah, his Chelsea ladies, yeah. And his magic maracas that he has as well.
Love Basil. Love seeing him at Stamford Bridge, actually. He makes quite a bit of noise at Stamford Bridge, does Basil. It's the echo, I guess, from the empty stands bouncing back at us.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good boy.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got anything you want to say about Laura Harvey or who you think should be manager of Chelsea next, then do let us know, because I'm super lazy, so I don't watch anything apart from Chelsea, and sometimes I don't even watch Chelsea. You can email us at wentomokingsmeadow@gmail.com, and we'll read emails out on the show when we get them. I just don't ask anyone for them, so we don't get any. But if you do want to say something, and then of course you can post in live on Mixlr as they have done tonight, joining the show as we go. Sadly, that is all we've got time for this year. We'll be back probably the Tuesday after the West Ham FA Cup game, the 16th of January, to give us a bit of time off and me to publish issue 8 of King's Manor Chronicle. Serena, thank you for giving up your time to join us. I know you've been very busy and not feeling very well as well, so thank you very much.
Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, and Simon, always a pleasure to see you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas, everyone. And just a little shout out to Owen Armstrong as well. Hope he's all right. I know he was supposed to be on the show Tuesday, but had a few problems. So just, yeah, hope you're all right, Owen.
Yeah, shout out to Owen. And very Merry Christmas to both Simon and Serena and to all our listeners. Thank you for sticking with us this year. I know we've been on and off, mainly due to me being lazy, but hopefully 2024 will see us back with regular content that you do enjoy. If you do love what we do, think about signing up to Patreon. It's £5 a month. It helps support the show, helps me use things like Zoom Premium, Mixlr, Adobe Audition to edit the podcast and publish it for you. On our Patreon, we have got interviews with the likes of Tony Farmer, Matt Beard, the Liverpool coach, George Michaelas, all about the 30-year history of Chelsea FC Women. They are exclusive to our Patreons. And you also get to listen ad-free as well on there. So if you do want to support what we do, please consider that. It's www.patreon.com/WentToMoKingsMeadow. As I said, we'll be back in the new year. A Merry Christmas to you all and a Happy New Year and all the best for 2024. Until then, from Kings Meadow to Wembley, keep the blue flag flying.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.